This is the John Oakley Show podcast.
And away we go. Topics worthy of discussion for Pizzaville, pound 3636. Our panel is in studio. It's a remarkable achievement. Everybody came in on a day where, school bus service was deterred. Oh, boy. Adrian Batra, editor-in-chief of the Toronto Sun. Good afternoon.
It's a great day for talk radio, John.
Thank you for that. Looking bright, sunshiny yourself in that orange. Boy, that's a beautiful, radiant outfit. It just
thank you.
Brightens
up
the whole room.
I'm sad that your listeners can't see it.
Well, you know, my description should have actually theater of the mind. They have a better idea of what it is and probably seeing it personally. Mike Van Solen, principal and navigator. How's Mike?
I'm doing really good, John. Great to be here.
Good to have you here.
I have a question. Is there a limit on the number of times you can say in a show it's a great day for talk radio?
There is no limit. As a matter of fact, if there is, we're going to blow right through that because I don't follow the rules, my friend.
Well, it absolutely is a great day for talk radio.
There you go. And David Sparrow is the national president of ACTRA, the Film and TV Actors Union here in Canada. How's David?
I am braving the elements for a great day in talk radio right here now. Luckily, I didn't need to take a school bus down here, so I was able to arrive.
It's amazing. You're braving the elements. You know, I mean, such courage, such, you know, spine, and you rose to a new level here. Young people would not believe it if you hadn't mentioned it yourself.
You know, you are so right. When I was a boy, ice used to freeze at 32 degrees, and then Trudeau's dad changed it to 0 degrees, and it has been getting colder ever since.
Amazing, eh? Really, it confuses people at the border with the states.
Absolutely. You see them come in with their skis on the car
and
in the middle of July.
And they hit that wall.
That's
suddenly
right.
From 77 to, 23, boom.
Exactly.
50-point drop. They can't figure that. But, it's a serious question, though, because school bus cancellations, this happens inevitably every year. It's like, we're going through this as an annuity. But, Adrian Batra, mm-hmm. Do you think this is a sign that we're going soft, or is it prudent to do the public health, medical officer of health suggested, your skin will freeze in 10 seconds of exposure, therefore don't go outside, yada, yada, yada?
Yeah, so I grew up in Saskatchewan.
Look out.
Where it's minus 40 before the wind chill, and we have a thing called block heaters in all of our vehicles, including the school buses, so they just keep running and on those prairie wintry roads. I don't know if it's a matter of us being more wimpy. I think it's just we have bubble wrapped our children a little bit more than we used to. And so parents have taken extreme measures to ensure that their precious little snowflake will happen. Teachers are responsible. Schools are still responsible. I just think that there's been a shift in sort of what we can brave as far as the elements go.
And yet, snowflakes are supposed to, endure not only this, but actually enjoy this kind of thing. So it seems almost like it's antithetical. But I guess, Mike Van Solen, we'll ask you, we're sitting around here like, it's the Algonquin roundtable of old fogies pronouncing.
I'm still wearing 6-inch heels in the snow, by the way.
Well, that's
just
hot.
FYI.
That keeps
good.
You above the drifts. That's good.
That's
and
it.
Just,
yeah,
you
yeah.
dig in.
Yeah.
You dig in.
You do.
You it's like spikes.
Yeah, sure.
Literally.
You learn that in Saskatchewan and the sloughs, too.
Damn right you do.
Okay. All right. So, but Mike, is this a signal that we're going soft or what's going on?
Well, you know what? This actual extreme weather alert, unlike many that have preceded it, seemed more warrented. I mean, it was colder than a well digger's hind quarter, if you might say.
Hey now.
So it was a cold one. And look, there's that really sad story, for example, of Jill Duceppe's mother who died in Quebec. She froze outside of a nursing home. So these are real things. And while I generally do believe that we're kind of growing softer as a society, it was cold outside.
Colder than the Leafs power play, I was saying. Do you guys watch sports on a weekend, anybody?
Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
Then let me ask you this. I mean, when it comes to games that mean an entire season, and to wit, the New Orleans Saints and the LA Rams, it was so obviously a case of pass interference, and yet it's not reviewable. I mean, if a whole season is going to hinge on a ref's blown call, shouldn't it be any and all cases can be reviewed with limitations? Maybe you get 3 challenges. I mean, they do now, but some cases are not reviewable. I'll just digress to ask you, Mr. Sparrow.
I don't get it. You know, there are other types of plays where they're automatically reviewed, whether it was totally obvious that the guy ran in and scored a touchdown. They, oh, no, we got to review it. Everything goes for review. And then something like this happens, which is so stinking obvious, and they won't review it. It doesn't make any sense. I watched a game the previous weekend when the defender was hit with the ball in the back of the head as he took down the receiver. And I'm thinking, that pretty much says that that was pass interference. Otherwise, it would have hit him in the face.
Right. Right. Yes, it's a point well made. So, I mean, Mike? Thought...
Well, it's ridiculous. I don't understand why the NFL can't be agnostic on this. You know, have your 3-4 challenges. Use them with great discretion, because once they're gone, they're gone. But why they would decide that that can't be reviewed and another one can, look, it makes a mockery of that game now. And, you know, it really messed up my playoff football pool too. So.
Well, that's the most unkindest cut of all, I guess. But you're right, a whole season hinged on that one play, because it's a given. New Orleans then runs out the clock, they win, and they lost
the Rams.
This.
Yeah,
so that's all great. I watched Duke basketball. That was my sporting event to watch this week, and I did watch the highlights. I'm an NFL fan for sure. Little disappointed that once again Tom Brady has made it into the Super Bowl.
Why?
I'm not a fan.
But don't you...
I'm a Manning fan, so I always would root for Eli Manning.
Oh, wow.
Who
Eli?
Beat, yes.
Wow.
Two Super Bowls.
Him twice in the Super Bowl.
He did, but there were circus catches. This was almost a hand of God moment that... But, you know, this is a perplexing thing to me. A lot of people just hate Belichick and Brady together, but genius should be applauded and appreciated, shouldn't it?
Well, they're talented, and he is... Look, I wouldn't dismiss him if he wanted to have a conversation with me, but...
we're still talking about Brady and not Belichick.
Yes, we're talking about Tom Brady.
Uh-huh.
I don't know, I find him off-putting, and I think he's kind of a D-bag.
Brady.
Yeah.
You know, humble genius should be celebrated. Humble genius should be celebrated, and Tom Brady does not have the humility necessary.
Yeah, check
I'm sorry.
Your hubris at the door, right?
That's right. Yeah.
Really, you think he's that arrogant, eh? Afterwards, he talked about how good Kansas City was and that they just happened to, you know, come to the fore and everybody there played their part. You got the sense that he's just too high on himself.
He was holding a bike pump in his hands at the time, so I don't know whether that...
I suppose when you're that good, you can be that much of an a-hole, but I don't know.
Well, and possibly too. All right, but let's leave that. I just wanted to know how you guys all felt about that. Now let's turn to some other matters that are topics worthy of discussion. The cannabis retail stores in certain neighborhoods, that has been determined for the city of Toronto. But Brampton, for example, has a vote later on tonight with a special meeting of council at 7 o'clock. Tonight's a cutoff, by the way. And if you opt out, you can always get back in later. But if you opt in, you can't get out. So Toronto, the die is cast. We're in. We're in for the long haul. But some neighbors are like... Communities have suggested they want nothing to do, at least at this point, with cannabis stores in their region or neighborhood. And that's, Richmond Hill.
You Markham.
Vaughan. Yeah, Markham. Mm-hmm. Scarpetti and council voted overwhelmingly in favor. I mean, do you think that these retail stores would be problematic for their neighborhood, Adrian?
No, I don't think so. I think the problem is this whole notion of a municipality being able to opt in or opt out is not necessarily born out of the cannabis issue. It's born out of what the Liberals used to do with forcing certain aspects of the Green Energy Act on municipalities.
Right.
And so, you know, the Ford government has said, you're going to have your say, you're going to have the opportunity to do so, sort of like they're your own version of a local referendum. I just think that the challenge for those communities that are rejecting it is, it is burying their heads a bit in the sand, because you can go from... 40 minutes down the road and participate in, or buy cannabis. And of course you have it on the online store and the like. So I find that they are going to miss out on an extraordinary amount of revenue. But also these things go in cycles. In 4-year time, we're going to see how the legalization goes in Ontario. And we're going to have another election in 4 years. And a lot of those city councillors will either be there or tossed out. Some of those mayors will change. So I think their perspectives will change too.
Mike?
Yeah, look, I think it was one of the brilliant moves of the Ford government so far to say, okay, municipalities, you can decide opt in or opt out. And then likewise, I think the counter to that is I think it would be boneheaded for municipalities to actually opt out. Because as Adrian properly points out, they're not going to stop marijuana from being in their neighborhoods. They're probably going to get the illegal stores in their places more likely. They're going to forego all the revenues that would come with it. So it's out of purely political considerations that they may take a pass. But even those municipalities that take a pass, I am sure future city councils in each of those will in time flip it and it will be legal. Or they'll have storefronts in every community across the province.
All right, so Mike and Adrian make it seem like it's a benign exercise, no harm, no foul. Do you see it that same way, Mike?
I think, frankly, that they can choose to opt out now. The idea that they'll never be allowed to opt back in, I agree that's going to be up for change. I think it's kind of ironic that the government, forces the City of Toronto, a municipality, to change the size of its city council and then turns around and offers other municipalities the option of opting in or out of cannabis sales. Obviously, two completely different things, but basically, either municipalities run themselves or they're run by the government, and this is kind of an interesting choice that they're offering here, and I don't think they'll be able to hold them to it forever.
Well, that's an interesting take. To your point, Adrian, that was because I know when Smitherman was in charge of the, I guess, environment, he was a guy who was suggesting you can't, this NIMBYism doesn't work for him. You're going to put wind turbines here, and we don't want to hear any more about it.
Yeah, and I think, certainly the Ford government has made that concerted effort to ensure that the municipalities themselves are the ones that are making the autonomous decisions. Now, We could debate what happened with the size of Toronto City Council, but that's a separate thing. But the long-term implication of a municipality and a local community should be left up, frankly, to those that are responsible for it. I just think in an instance such as this, it is short-sighted. And they are, I think catering to a certain segment of their population who don't want to see this type of, mushrooming of cannabis retailers all around their community. Even though I think that too is a short-sighted notion because only so many won the lottery. Right. And so this is a reality. And I just think that many of them are doing their residents a disservice by burying their head in the sand about it.
Oh, by the way, John, that Brampton meeting is at 8:00 tonight behind the gym.
Okay. All right. That's the real meeting. The other one is just pro forma stuff in sort of council chambers. All right. Let's come back. More topics worthy of discussion with our panel, Adrian Batra, Mike Van Solen, David Sparrow, on The Oakley Show, Global News Radio, 640 Toronto.
Thanks for listening to the John Oakley Show podcast. Be sure to rate, review, and subscribe for free at Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and anywhere else you get your on-demand audio.